beginning of trying to run right, Sunday night, the 7th of December, 69. Sunday night, the 7th of December, 69, beginning of Channel 1, right. Barbara, reel 9, a new reel, Channel 1, right. Sunday night, the 7th of December, 69.
All right. Barbara said all afternoon she thought about riding Miss Pussy. Pussy was just now getting ready. She was ready to ride today. And, I knew that. Well, Pussy just wanted to gallop a little bit, and Suzanne wasn't in the saddle, and that's what happened. And so we took Pussy back over there. After Suzanne took a little tumble, she got back on her, and I walked with her. And Pussy went around in the square there, walked out, and she walked round and round and round. And she knew that we had scolded her a little bit. Hadn't done anything, but just raised our voice to her. And Suzanne said, "Look how sad she looks." That was after we finished walking her. And she said, "She just looks like she's going to cry." "I believe I'm going to cry too," Suzanne said. And Pussy would start, she'd stand there, and I'd say, "Don't you know you almost got Suzanne hurt? Aren't you ashamed?" And Pussy would sort of look at me, and then she'd pretend she was going to get some grass, and she'd think better of it, and she wouldn't even nibble any grass. And Suzanne said, "Why, she's just heartbroken, Faye." I said, "Oh, I don't think so." She was contrite. Dinkle.
Uh-huh.
Like Dinkle. She's contrite. Yeah. She's contrite right fast. And she didn't mean to do anything wrong. Put the wrong bit on her, and Suzanne should have been in a Western saddle instead of the English. But anyway, it was no harm done, and Suzanne walked her out real well.
Fat off of her and learning she can move, that's all.
Uh-huh.
She just had so much fat on her that she couldn't even walk.
Okay.
She lost all the weight she needs to lose, why she'd be a right active little miss.
Yeah.
She needs to lose another 200 pounds.
Uh-huh.
She does. She got over an inch and a half of fat over her ribs.
Uh-huh.
She didn't need any fat on her ribs. She were in working condition. She shouldn't have a bit of fat on her ribs.
Mm-hmm.
She should be able to count them. Not thin. Not thin, but you should be able to see your ribs in the right light.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the flesh should be on the shoulders and quarters.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So she's got a long way to go before she'd be fit.
See, we've never really known what Pussy can do.
No. And you see, when I first started working her and just jumping her a little bit, and I thought, her parents couldn't have been jumpers. I mean, you know. Pussy couldn't even hold her own weight when she tried to jump. And that's why I quit jumping her. I was scared to death I was going to strain her legs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She couldn't pick up her own weight.
You're too fat.
And she's already strained them a little bit on her back legs. She's got wind galls, and that's from strain.
Oh, really?
You know, those little puffy
mm-hmm.
places on her, all around her fetlocks?
Mm-hmm.
That's where they've been strained a little bit. And the sac that's around the bone, the fluid that is shot cushion, if the leg is strained, that'll stretch, and it won't ever shrink again once it's stretched. So you get these little things they call wind galls. And they're I imagine the only reason she's gotten them as young as she is because she was too fat to carry her own weight. If she ever got really slimmed down, I can see how she might do some things. That's no word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we fed them through the winter, you know. We were told. Green fed them, not much. But Green fed them every day because we were told by the vet that would be the way to distribute the weight better than letting them just have hay. They needed a certain amount of grain
mm-hmm.
along with it.
Yeah, that's true. The best thing for Pussy if anybody were going to really work her, and if she weren't just a for what you want her for, if anybody were going to work her seriously, best thing would be just bring her in and grain feed her and not let her eat grass. Because grass is fattening, like potatoes. Starchy. That's why horses aren't usually put on clover, because it's so fattening. And cattle are, because it's so fattening. And if she were going, if anybody were really going to work her, they'd just take her off grass completely.
You see, Alvin Stallion.
I got a little bit of a look at him. It was dark by the time we got over there. Practically, it was really dusk. And what I saw looked nice. It wasn't anything outstanding. It wasn't anything that would make you just take three steps backwards like that stud over at Tilton's. I mean, once you've seen a horse like that, you're spoiled to go and look at something like Alvin's.
Next day.
That's just putting it too close together. That stud at Tilton's was solid muscle, and this little horse of Alvin's is puny. He's nice looking. He's got a nice head, good neck, and good shoulders. He's a little bit narrow. His front leg's chest is a little bit narrow. And his quarters aren't very well developed at all. Now, that might be just simply because he's not worked.
He's not worked?
No, he's not worked. Alvin said he only rode him to round up cattle occasionally, and that he hadn't worked him in a long time. He was rough. He said he couldn't even handle his feet quite right because he wasn't ridden enough. But that when he was worked and got the muscles, he could walk real well. He wanted me to come over and ride him, see what he was like under saddle. But he says now he'll be a bit rough. He'll be a bit rough because he hadn't been worked, and he just puts his feet down heavy until he's been worked some. And that, I imagine, is true. But I saw another of his foals. And this one was out of that thoroughbred mare of Alvin's. And she's got nice conformation. She's run down and she's old. But if she were fed up, she'd have nice conformation. But now that foal she dropped is nice. And it's got the longest legs. Legs that just go on forever. It's little, though. Looks like it could hardly reach her. She's tall. She must be about 16'3".
Oh,
and all legs. Like, you know, typical thoroughbred.
Yeah.
All legs.
Yeah.
Not modern thoroughbred either. Old thoroughbred. They've changed in the last 15 years. 15, 20 years. They've changed. And she's old-fashioned thoroughbred. All legs. And that little foal, I don't see how he even gets his milk. Because it's tiny. It's only a week old. But it's pretty. And it walks nicely. So what can you say? When you see his get, they're good. They look good.
And fancy fancy looks good to me.
So we're looking. She looked good this afternoon. Mm-hmm. She's healthy. He's got spots all the way around all the way around his house. He's got what amounts to a big square with the house and an old trailer and swing sets for the kids and stuff and a rabbit hutch. And then all the way around three sides of it, he's got lots fenced off. And he's got the stud and those two little ponies in one, and he's got the his Nellie's colt. Nellie's colt in another with another pony. And then he's got in the one right behind, directly behind the house, he's got that thoroughbred and her foal. And then he's got a lot of hogs. And then he's on the other side, he's got another pony that used to belong to the Cookies. But they got rid of it because it would run away with them all the time, and Frank was the only one that could make it stop. So they sold it to Alvin. Whether it works any or not, it was fat. It was the only, besides the little ponies, it was the only really fat and sleek one there. But nice house. Doesn't look like too much from the outside, but the inside of it is done up really nice. And dogs all over the place. Everywhere you step, you're tripping over a dog.
Outside?
Mm-hmm. There, he's got one great big old dog that he says is cow and hog dog. He says he's real good with cows, and she can round up hogs, too. And she's got 8 pups all underfoot and around and going to sleep right at the bottom of the steps, so she'll step on them. Running under the truck when he started it. He started the truck, and we had to pull 4 pups out from under the truck before he could drive off. And all his boys running around. Boy, they move fast, and they never stop. The Cookie children are so well behaved, and Alvin's boys just run circles around them. Run circles around them 6 times and scream and yell all the while. Boys, I was sitting in the living room talking with Mrs. One of the boys came running down the hall just as fast as he can. Got into the room, he leaped into the air and kicked his heels together and disappeared. And his mother called after him and but it didn't do any good. He was gone. I don't know. There were the 2 younger boys, and there was an older boy out helping with the car. I never got introduced to him. Don't know a thing about him.
He's
been over here, I think. Talking about his girl. When I was in talking with Mrs. Ponder, she's expecting another one any week now. Just as bright. And she was complaining about her daughter, because her daughter had a car. And this is one of the things that interested me. She was talking about how her daughter misused that car, just tore it apart. And she bought that car for her daughter, worked for it, and paid for it out of her paycheck. And she just got furious just thinking about it. How many dents that car had. And she says every Monday and Friday she floods the doggone thing. So now I have to take her to work. Every Monday and Friday. And she thinks that when I go into the hospital, she's going to drive that white station wagon. And I have already told her she's not going to touch it. Anybody that can have treat a car better than she can. And about that time, Laura looked out the window and she said, see, the lights had gone out. And she looked out the window and she said, now they can't get it cranked up. They're having to push it. And Mrs. Fawn said, have you got a jump cable? And I said, they're both back by the shed in the truck. She says, yeah, I had one, and every time I needed it, it was in Alvin's truck. I can see that little girl. She probably knows much about cars than Alvin does.
Well, she knows about the emergencies.
Yeah, and she knows how to handle a jump cable, I'm sure.
Now, you see, Alvin is interested in animals, and Cookie says Alvin knows animals. Cattle, horses, hogs.
Well, I don't know enough about how Alvin takes care of his horses, except what I can see by looking at the horses. And mainly, it's just not enough food for any of them, except those little ponies. And that one pony that the Cookies sold them. The rest of them just look half-starved. And he feeds them. He feeds them corn. But the corn's so hard they can't eat it. Well, corn and whole oats.
Whole corn, whole oats.
Whole corn and whole oats are just about useless to feed a horse.
Mm-hmm.
But see, these people, he throws them corn in the shucks. That hard feed corn that you feed the hogs. And mules. That's what I saw it being fed to in Kentucky anyway. And the mountains, they just, like Nick said, throwing a horse in the stall. And or a mule, gosh, those mules used to stand and 6 foot of muck, I swear. And the cows too. Only difference was they put the cows out in the pasture, but the mule didn't get out there very often. But now Alvin keeps his horses. For instance, those horses, not one of those lots has any grass in it. It's bare sand. All those lots around his house are all bare sand. And he's got, I guess, from what I heard, he's got land around there, hasn't he? He's got pasture around there. And he makes hay and that sort of thing. But the horses are kept right there at the house, handy. And they don't need a barn or a shed or anything. But he's got them in a situation where he has to feed them. Because they don't have any grass. And the only horse, for instance, now he's got that quarter horse. It doesn't look too bad. And those two little ponies that'll keep fat on a blade of grass in an acre.
Yeah.
That Coltinelli's doesn't look good. It's just never had enough food to grow properly. And then old Blackie, this little pony that the Cookies had and sold to Alvin, that one's fat. But that's another one of those fat little stocky ponies. It's bigger. It's about, oh, it's a little smaller than Tony.
Mm-hmm.
But it's stocky, big bone. And those horses are easy keepers. Especially when you don't work them. And that stud got no muscle on it. No muscle at all. He looks a little like this quarter. See, the reason I wouldn't say that I don't like him is I can remember what this quarter horse Mr. Daly had looked like when he brought him in from Oklahoma. And he was about the color of Alvin's horse. Except that he didn't have a white blaze. Yes, he did. Had a white blaze. And when I first saw him, I thought he was no count. And that horse was after a summer of work and built up some muscle on him, had all the presence and fire and just his vein. He was beautiful. He was a horse who'd make anybody looking at him turn his head. Look again. Mm-hmm. After a summer of work. He didn't. Even Mr. Daly said when he first saw the horse, he didn't think it was worth anything. So it was the biggest surprise of his career.
Well, just looking at Pussy, with the 6 weeks or 2 months that you've been down here, she's a different horse. She's not anything like she was when you came.
No, she's not.
She's beginning to look like and act like a horse.
Act like a horse.
Yeah. See? I mean, this is a short time.
Work makes a difference, and that horse is, if he were worked, his quarters might build up. And I know his shoulders would build up. The moment he's got good withers, he's got a good neck, he's got no shoulders. They slope good from the point of the shoulder up to the wither. The slope's good, but no breadth and no muscle. And good, strong-looking legs. He's got better legs than Pussy. And longer legs than Pussy.
Oh.
He's a slender-built animal.
Mm-hmm.
Not as narrow as Tony. He's a better-looking horse than Tony. Just a quick glance at him. The only thing I don't like about him is when he stands, and this is what doesn't look quarter horsey about him. Doesn't look quarter horsey at all. Looks standard bred. When he stands, or saddle bred rather, his withers are higher than his quarters.
Oh, that does like.
Mm-hmm. See, that's more quarter. That's more saddle horse than quarter horses have that. Very definitely slope down from the quarters to the shoulder. Even more than thoroughbreds. That used to be the mark of a thoroughbred, but it's not anymore. Quarter horses that slope a lot more than thoroughbreds even. And this horse is lower. His quarters are lower than his withers. His withers drop, and then his back runs level all the way to his croup.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of narrow. His quarters kind of narrow. And it could be just because there's no muscle on him. Muscle were built up on him. He'd look better. He doesn't look filled out behind, and he didn't look filled out in front. Just in between.
He's not four yet.
No, he's not four yet. He needs work, I guess. Something he should have. People owning horses and taking care of them, I think diet's the biggest mistake people make.
Mm-hmm.
I guess 90% of the mistakes that are made with horses are 50% of the mistakes are made with horses are with diet. And another good 20% are bits. And handling. How they handle. But then see, you can have the best intention people in the world that would never put the wrong bit on or anything. And still their horses wouldn't be in good shape. And it wouldn't, it's so easy to make mistakes with diet. Most people think they can throw a horse out in the field and let him graze, and that's all they have to do. And then their horses get thin and get worms, and they dose them for worms, maybe, some of them don't. And then their horses stay thin on good grass, and they wonder why. Or they throw them some corn in the winter, like Alvin does. And the horses won't pick up. They don't even bother. I guess Alvin doesn't even bother to wonder why. I wouldn't be surprised if part of that little stallion's trouble. I don't know. I imagine he worms pretty well because he has cattle, doesn't he?
That wouldn't mean he wormed them.
Yeah, but even so. But you get a lot of people who just don't feed. They just put them out on grass, and then they either get horses that are too fat or too thin. But no horse on this grass is in top working condition. They may be fine to work an hour a day or 2 hours a day, mm-hmm. or hack around on, but they aren't in top working condition. A horse in top working condition can go all day, day after day after day after day after day, and ask for more. And you can't do that on grass. And the other extreme, now you see that's what happens with a lot of your Western people. They just turn them out, and they don't feed them. Or they keep them in and don't feed them, which is worse. They throw them corn or something, which isn't a good diet for a horse.
Hay.
That's no good. That's almost nothing. Just fills their stomach up. And the other extreme is your English people who get a horse and stick it in a stall and feed it up on oats. They think they're being awful good to their horse. They just feed it oats and then they only want to ride it 30 minutes a day or a week even.
Mm-hmm.
And wonder why they get bucked off,
mm-hmm.
thrown into fences and all sorts of other things. And that's just as stupid a mistake as the other one.
What?
Horse, see, what grain does, it's not turned into fat, it's turned into energy. And you can keep a horse can eat grain and not get fat.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll know it when you get on him, brother. And you can take a horse like Pussy, who you can hardly get to move, when she's on grass and fat,
mm-hmm.
slim her down, get all that extra weight off of her, put her on about 18 pounds of grain a day. Work her so her muscles are toned and fit, and you'll have to work that horse 3 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to, or she'll just be so full of herself that she'll throw fits.
That's fine.
Just kick up her heels in the air and run around in circles,
mm-hmm.
and everything else. And you could sell that horse to some of these English people as a perfect child's pony, and she's not a bad child's pony.
Mm-mm.
And they would feed her up on oats and keep her in a stall, and as stubborn as she is, she'd do something that would get that child hurt.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then they'd blame you, and it's not your fault. It's their own mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they bought is a good child's pony. Properly fed and properly cared for.
Okay.
And almost every stable, except a professional, people who really know, who work with horses and know, can tell by looking at a horse what sort of feed to give them before they'll go stall crazy or something like that. See, I know just by looking at Molly, I'd never feed her an oat in her life. Unless I was going to be working her real hard, I would never feed her oats. And all I have to do is look at her. And I can look at Pussy and know that if I ever wanted to get a good day's work out of her, I'd have to pump her with oats.
Mm-hmm.
And get the fat off. And Missy's normal. You wouldn't have to, Missy, you could go by the books. You couldn't go by the books with Molly and
mm-hmm.
Pussy, but you could go by the books with Missy. So you can get these little books and they'll tell you how much to feed a horse for so much weight.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just go by that with Missy and she'd stay manageable. But you couldn't go by the books with the other two. And Hubie requires a whole different diet. All grass he can eat. Lots of soft bran. Not much oats. He's not got no need of oats. But lots of bran and sweet feed and grass and hay. all the fattening things you can think of. What are some other good ones? Let me think so we can get some for him.
The vet said we couldn't get him fat. He said there's no such thing. And I think fertilizing the grass is the best thing for Hubie.
Yeah.
That's the thing that really got him this summer.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted Dr. Holland to see that horse.
Yeah. He had the best grass he's ever had.
And he was actually fat for Hubie.
Yeah.
He looked
shame we couldn't have kept him that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You can say now you could feed him linseed if you wanted to take the time. Linseed is fattening, very, very fattening. And it takes time to fix, that's the only thing. You couldn't feed it to him. You can't feed it to him dry, just whole, because it's hard for him to chew up. You can if it's a young horse. You can throw a little bit, handful of linseed in. But an old horse, you have to cook it. And if you cook it, you can't just be careless about it. Because there, it goes through a stage when there's chemical reaction that is poisonous to the horse. And you have to cook it past that point before it's safe for the horse to eat again. And so it's a lot of trouble. But always the results are good. Results are real good. And I tell you, it's something that's good for these old horses are the cubes, these complete pellets.
Mm-hmm.
They dissolve just as soon as they get wet. They aren't hard for the horse to eat, like corn or even crimped oats, or it takes some chewing up. But these pellets will just go into a mush, and they're easy for a horse to eat. And we had several old horses at Tilk that went through their best winters, just gained instead of losing
on those pellets.
We started feeding Hubie as soon as the grass started
going down. But you know we're not feeding him twice a day. And that's what he ought to be fed. At least three times a day, if anything,
mm-hmm.
The vet said. That just every time we see him, feed him.
Mm-hmm.
Because his stomach would just take it in, and he needed it that way.
I feed him when I use him.
Yeah.
I'll throw him something, a couple of pounds of sweet pea. If I can get to him without having to fight the other horses. Sometimes it's Pussy's there, or Molly, and they're both nosy. They're just get in your way while you're trying to arrange things so that they can't get in. Bothers them.
Critters.
Yeah, critters.
Aren't we mostly guilty of just having a horse or some horses for our pleasure to look at and let them do just like we let Pussy do? Because there isn't that kind of time, or somebody can work her. And then we put her on fertilized grass and feed her, you know, a couple here and there. This is what Cookie, though he doesn't take care of his animals either, but this is what he could see, that Pussy needed something. And if we weren't going to work her, he would, because he never did. But he could see, and we all could see. But isn't that what happens mostly to people who just have horses? They can't work them enough.
Yeah. Mostly, I guess that is what happens. Most people just don't have the time it takes to take care of a horse. Horses are just as time consuming as
children.
At least as time consuming as children. Maybe more. Because children eventually grow up, and you don't have to put them to bed every night and dress them and change their clothes for them all their lives.
How do you live without radio now?
What caught me?
He tried.
He tried hard, didn't he? Some things, you know what used to happen to me when I was a kid with masks, guys? I'd start working on this stupid problem, and I could not work it out. And I could hit my head against that problem for till I was in tears. And I'd go away and do something else and come back, and I'd still hit my head on that problem.
Wouldn't come to you?
I'd get contrary. No. I just thought that was...
I'll tell you something.
Well, defeat every once in a while is good for the soul.
What do you think a little music would be helpful?
Let's get him to talk about something.
For you, I think. Huh? You think that's what we're lacking? A little music. For these horses?
Yeah, Bob. You think?
I think she'd ridden Pussy all afternoon instead of looking at Cookie's album and Alvin's poor horses.
Now that wasn't the horse album, you.
No. No, it was his family album.
Don't you have any protection against
this beautiful blue and gold afternoon when you could be riding?
You know what I do? Brings on an album. Yeah.
I thought it was right interesting.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, he had pictures of his dad.
Yes.
And you know, I told him the thing that struck me about his dad, this picture, was a candid shot. You know, they just come in, somebody come in while they were at breakfast and snap the camera.
Yeah.
And he is looking around like from the table, looking around, turning just that instant, turned to look at the camera.
Yeah.
I said, Cookie, he looks like a man who rules his family.
Really?
And he said, yes, you better believe it. When I'm up there and my brother's up there, we all obey Papa. We do what Papa says. Mm-hmm.
Well, now that pleases him.
Oh, yeah.
Because he talks about his papa as a man who can get control.
Mm-hmm. His papa looks like a man who can get control.
Oh, does he?
Mm-hmm. He's got a lean face and bushy eyebrows. And he just looks all craggy. And he looks like he could really lay down the line for his boys.
Did you look at Cookie this afternoon when he came out on the porch?
Yeah.
He looked craggy?
No. No, it struck me that Cookie looked less that way today than he usually does. Slicked down.
Did you hear him do this?
Yeah.
If that wasn't the patriarch speaking, he wanted those children to get together, get organized in there.
They heard him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was interested in just sitting watching him, his expression. And you know, I could just sit there and watch him and tell the minute Frank moved across the yard and just where Frank was going and what he was doing practically.
understand that.
Well, he was sitting on the porch, and Frank would come in, sit there for a minute. Then he'd go out and get Tony. And I was sitting with my back to the yard. I couldn't see in the yard without turning around. But Cookie was sitting with his back to the wall, and he could see the yard. And Frank would go out there and get Tony, and you could just tell where he was going by watching Cookie. He'd just sit there, and he looked like he was expressionless. But you watch his eyes and tell where Frank was. And then he'd sort of smile. And if you glance out there, you'd see he was teaching Tony how to open a gate. And one time he sort of smiled and to himself, and Frank was riding down the road, standing up in the saddle. And his eyes would just gleam. He never said anything to us. Not a word. He just watched Frank. And he was just proud.
Now that was while they were singing?
That's while they were singing.
You know, I've seen him out there. He watched Frank walk off, you know, and he gets big. And he said, that boy don't know his own power.
Mm-hmm. He was proud of the singing, too. They weren't quite as organized as he had thought they ought to be. But he said, you get a little experience playing for this tape. You're going to cut a record. And all they need is just one record to hit the top.
You know,
good
deal. That was all right.
Yeah.
You know, he has a beautiful voice. Beautiful voice.
Yeah.
Speaking voice and singing voice.
She is. She does.
Watching that with a mental view to it. She was, now she'll talk about it later because we didn't talk too much about it, but miss any of that.
Radio was that, sir.
First guy.
She's talking about these old sorry horses, and
Well,
didn't
tell you what's
going to
race.
How much it cost? Everything about it.
Yeah, just about get to where it would sound a little fainter, and you'd walk around the corner onto the top yard and see his radio would be on. Because they were all tuned to BBC One,
All
tuned to the same station.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you'd walk on down the yard, and you'd get down to the other end of the yard, and just about out where it'd be out of range, the volume be falling a bit, and you turn the corner into the cage boxes, and somebody's radio would be on down there. It was eerie. It was like having speakers all over the place carrying BBC One.
Now, that didn't last all the time you were there.
Yeah.
You just had a spell.
No, that was the whole time I was there.
I don't see how you survived.
Well, it wasn't always quite that bad.
But you were just you were as bad as they were.
Mm-hmm. I was as bad as they were. Spill up on the ledge.
Yeah.
In Candy's stall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They had partition, and I'd put the radio up on the on the board that ran along the top of the partition. And Candy was the only horse that ever pulled it down. And he would get curious and reach up there and just pull it down. Had several whacking good falls from that from that ledge.
Yeah. But he didn't bother.
No, he just knock it with his nose and he'd fall off. The ledge was only 2 inches wide and the radio was 4 inches wide, and it was always balanced a little precariously.
Oh, you didn't have a transistor?
Yeah, it was a transistor. It wasn't a little pocket transistor, though. It was a big one.
What do you want to take the big one for?
Better sound. This one had the best speakers of a radio of its size that I could find.
Right on this little one out there in the car?
Well, no. Car radios are...
No.
Oh, the Sonny? I don't know. I imagine the Sonny's better.
How much does it cost?
14 pounds. 7 pounds, so much shilling. Sorry, 11 pounds.
$30.
Well, this goes 60.
Imagine it's better. This present to myself.
What happened to it?
I got it at home. I never play it though, unless I turn. The only time I listen to a radio is when I'm driving. And then only if I'm alone, or if I've got a friend who likes that kind of music with me. Never with my parents or anything. Or at a stable. I think it's good to have a radio around the stable. I like it. I don't know that I'd have it on a pop station. I'd probably... The music on FM stations is so terrible. So watered down, sugar sweetened, horrible during the daytime. At night they put on the classical stuff. But during the daytime it's all these Henry Mancini and that sort of stuff. And I can't stand that. Living Strings, those groups.
You can't stand
that. So the horses can't have it. That's what it amounts to. If I don't like it, the horses can't have it.
Well, Nick's contention is that music ought to be go along with horses. But you do your own providing. So he sings operatic arias to Molly. She likes Gilbert and Sullivan's Thumb, but she likes Wagner and Verdi better. And he sings all the time to her. I mean, truly. He sings to her.
A fine thing to sing to Molly.
I can hear him.
Well, they
hear herself. Yeah. I used to sing ballads. But there's not much you can do to a ballad except go along at a slow walk. And feel mournful.
Does that make you feel mournful?
Ballads I sang did. Lord Randall.
Yeah.
And yeah. Barbara Allen and
Blue
Tail. But liked it, you think, and liked to stick their heads out the stall and listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Know what's going on. It tilts.
Yes, they do. They like to hear it. They're curious creatures. They like to watch anything that's going on. And it didn't, you could turn the radios on, they'd listen. Old Silver, I used to always have the radio on when I was grooming him. Only trouble was I wouldn't get to groom him till about 10:30. And by 10:30 there was a program on called Family Choice. And Family Choice was a request program. And you'd get some of the weirdest things. Anything from the Blue Danube Waltz to the latest number one pop thing. And it wasn't one of my favorite programs. My favorite program was John Peel, but nobody else liked it, so...
What time was that?
John Peel came on while we were cleaning tack. 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And he played lots of Dylan and blues and things like Cream and the stuff I'd heard at college.
And you could clean tack and listen to that?
Sure. That was when we get that's when we get in trouble about having the radio on too loud. Would be when we were cleaning tack. Because we'd get about 4 or 5 of us in the tack room cleaning tack and talking, and you'd have to turn the radio up so that you could still hear the radio while you were talking.
Then you'd have to talk louder.
And then you'd have to talk louder, and the radio would go up some more, and Judy would come in from her lesson and say, turn the radio down, and stomp out again.
What did she care
for? They could hear it in school. The tack room was right across from the school entrance.
Mm-hmm.
Was it still on? Notice it was on. I mean, I knew it was on because I could see the picture, but I didn't notice the sound.
But I couldn't see any kind of music going on unless I listened to it. I'm able to do it. I don't care what kind it is. I have to listen to it. So I can't listen to it and do anything else. I have to listen.
See, so far tonight, it's all negative, just like it was in Nick. Well, there was only one surprise, and that was the family album and that nice glimpse of Cookie's daddy, who has authority in his face. That pleased Cookie, certainly. But you get to the animals and to the children and all, and it's a right sad picture. I don't see anything to take hold of. You want to say, well, they oughtn't have animals. See, that much experience, that much observing, ought to bring up some statement, you see, that would give them some vigor.
Frank's Tony and Laura's little man take care of that.
There's in Kentucky, I used to figure it's just because those people expected were tough, and they were used to being knocked around, and they expected their animals to do the same. And a man that expects to work with cattle and get rolled in the dirt and fight a few fights and be proud of it isn't gonna want any pussyfooting horse. He's gonna want a horse that can take it just as much as he can.
Be starved and still take it.
I figure that most of these boys had wouldn't, if they get in a fight and get cut up or working cattle and get thrown and break a leg, they take it. It's just part of it. Part of the work, part of the life. And they can be proud of it that they can take it. And they don't have any respect for anybody that can't. Doesn't have the same attitude towards they do. And their animals are that way too. Now, I never noticed that a Kentucky mule ever cared particularly whether he got hit over the head by a tumor before or not. Missouri mules care even less. Cookie talks about those Alvin's cattle. He calls them jackrabbits. And he's not upset because they aren't great big fat animals that can't run around. He's proud of the way those cattle can. They're hard to round up. They're tough. They run. They've got those wood cattle, or will take anything that you can give them. And a man has to work to get them. But Cookie respects those cattle.
Is it the woods cattle he calls jackrabbits?
Yeah, it was the woods cattle he was talking about that were shy and could run like jackrabbits. He said. And I didn't know what he meant till I saw Alvin's tame ones out there with long legs and scrawny look that said they could probably run faster than most of the horses around here. So I imagine what those woods cattle must be like. Cookie doesn't like to see an animal beat down. And its spirit broke. That's what's upsetting about Little Man. Is Little Man was mistreated. Little Man was worked until he just couldn't stand anymore. He couldn't even stand up. And he just broke him down completely. Cookie's got no use for that kind of thing. That doesn't mean that he wouldn't want a horse he'd have to pamper either. That's why he doesn't like Missy. Got no use for Missy. Because he has to pamper her. And a horse ought to be able to take it. Yeah, she gets the colic. If a horse is going to get hurt, she'd be the one to get hurt. That's what you say anyway. She's the one that would get tangled in the fence or step on a piece of broken glass or almost anything. It's going to happen. He's got no use for a horse like that.
I want to. He likes those horses right there by him.
Yeah.
He
mm-hmm.
does. I hadn't realized how close they were. They're in that lot without any grass. Children can go out there all the time and play with those horses. And he tried to let them stay over here, and he just couldn't. They just felt more comfortable right there where they could be with them.
I remember when we were talking about one of them being lonely or something like that. I forget what that was exactly. But he was sitting here and he turned around and looked at me and he said, "Now you didn't go down and see him, did you? You never went down to see him, did you?"
Mm-hmm.
And it was right,
uh-huh.
I felt right guilty. I really did.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
He thanked me one day. Little Man was hard to catch, and I remember I said, "Well, every time I passed, I tried to speak to him." And the next time Cookie came, he said, "You know, Little Man's easy to catch," and I think it's because you spoke to him.
Mm-hmm.
I found his horse.
That's when he left Little Man here,
mm-hmm.
and Little Man wasn't with the other horse.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I didn't go down and talk to him."
Mm-hmm.
They do. They make a virtue of getting the animals through on the bare minimum. Now that's the whole cattle industry, not the purebred, but the common commercial cattle. And that's by the fine growers. These people who surround me here do that. Well, we just dawdled tonight. I just never saw anything like it. We never did get under steam, but Barbara said some right nice things. And listened to the Forsyte Saga on this Sunday night, the 7th of December, 69. Channel 1 right, 870, on this new reel.